Good morning. I want to ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to just kind of use that as our springboard again this morning. We have been doing a study in Genesis, and the purpose of this is to try to help each of us to become strengthened in our faith and our understanding of the foundation of how God brought about everything, that it's really important for us to understand those foundations. Because a lot of young people are leaving our church and are going into the secular world, especially colleges, and when they get there, they don't have answers. They don't understand how to be able to tell and to share their faith in a powerful way. What happens is that because they don't have that understanding, they become intimidated. And so we don't want people to become arrogant, but we want to be able to help people to know more about what God says and to trust in the validity of His Word, because that's going to affect how you see the Word of God overall, by understanding the foundations of how God brought this world about. Father, we pray that You would open up our hearts this morning as we look at the distinctives of Your creation, that You would help us understand that You alone are God, and that You told us in Your truth and in Your power that You created. Lord, give us faith to be able to believe that and to trust You with it, no matter what the assault might be. We thank You for the power of Your Word now, in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the distinctives of God's creation, I want us to start by looking at this principle. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. A very powerful statement. Moses said of God in Exodus chapter 31 and 17, along that line, God made the world right here. He established it, and He did it. And we saw the last time we were studying that He formed it, and then He filled it. He formed the heavens, He formed the earth. And when you look at the very beginning, the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is a summarial statement. This is what God did. The very beginning He made them. And then He began to form them and He filled them. So everything that you see here at the very beginning of this chapter is a flow after that of what has happened as He created the heavens and the earth. And Moses said of God this. He said, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day He rested. And we call that a week. 6 days, and then He rested. There's a definition called distinctive. I want to look at the word distinctive. This is very important. Distinctive is the characteristic of one person or thing, and so serving to distinguish it from others. Another aspect of distinctive is this. It's the marking as separate or different. That's a very powerful statement, very powerful definition. And we're going to look at the distinctives, those things that about God's creation that set it apart from other things and other teachings. There's a very important question that we have to ask ourselves this morning. And this is it. Very important question. Do I believe, according to the record of Genesis 1, that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal 24-hour days? That's the question you have to ask yourself today. Do I believe that God created the earth and the heavens in 6 literal 24-hour days? If God did indeed say of Himself that, as we saw at the first slide, there is no one else, then that marks Him as being very distinctive. It separates Him. It also says to me and you that what He tells us about His creation and the time it took is also very distinctive, and for a very good reason. You see, we as mankind tend to do what? We tend to lean on our own understanding. We tend to do this, and apart from God and His revealed Word, and that can get us into a lot of trouble. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So we as men and women tend to, though, lean on our own understanding. And that gets us into trouble when we do that apart from God and his word. As an example, there is an intensifying controversy that has reached the church, and it's reached it all over the world regarding the age of the earth. It's interesting that for the very first 18 centuries of church history, the almost universal belief among Christians and their leaders was that God created the world in 6 literal days, roughly 4,000 years before Christ, and he altered the world with a global flood at the time of Noah. This means that when you track time from the genealogy of Adam forward to this present day, that the earth is going to be approximately 6,000 years old. That is called a very young earth by today's standards of what we have been taught. But there was a problem. About 200 years ago, some scientists developed new theories about Earth history, which proposed that the Earth and the universe are millions of years old. And as a result, many Christian leaders, in assuming that to be true, have leaned on their own understanding, and I believe as a result, have made various attempts to fit those millions of years into the Bible. And I want to briefly cover what some of these teachings are that people in the church today have gone into. The first one is called the gap theory. The gap theory. What is the gap theory? Well, some Christians are concerned about the apparent scientific evidence for millions of years. And they propose, because of that, there must be a gap of millions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Read with me this gap area. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Then you have verse 2. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. What they propose that if we do believe that there are millions of years, there must have been something that happened that caused that. They take verse 1 and verse 2 to be what they call this gap area, where there are millions of years. They suggest that during the millions of years between these two verses, dinosaurs and other extinct creatures could have expired. They also propose a lot of other ideas, but here's what I want us to understand about that. The prime motivator for this gap theory is that you are believing that the gap theory is, they're believing in millions of years due to geologic layers. That's their prime motivator for believing the gap theory. The belief that there were millions of years, which they were told 200 years ago, and they believe that, and that due to the geological layers that we have been looking at. Gap theorists, for the most part, will do this. They will reject the flood of Noah made by the geologic layer. So if you want to put gap theory, what does that mean? It means basically they believe in millions of years and they reject the flood of Noah. Then there's the day-age theory, or also those that fall in that same category are called theistic evolutionists. Those are big words, but I want you to understand them because it's important. I've done some digging and looking, and there's a flood of material out there. You could read volumes. There are people who have written 3 or 4 books on just theistic evolutionists, or 3 or 4 books on day-age theory. I'm not going to give all of it to you because it's mind-blowing. But here's what I want you to understand. You have the gap theory, and then you have the age theory. This theory basically does what? It denies that the days described in Genesis 1 were literal 24-hour periods of time. But they say, rather, those weren't days. They are an expression of periods of time that had to be millions of years for each, quote, day of creation. Theistic evolutionists want to believe in God and evolution. And here's what they would say. They would say that, yes, God did create through evolution. But, again, this involves millions of years for their theory to work. And then what we have is next called progressive creationists. They are not convinced by the theory of evolution. They do not believe that we came from apes. They reject biological evolution, but they still have this struggle about the geology. They have a struggle with all the layers. So they accept the geological evolution and the stars and the universe. And they accept the evolution of the stars. They both, again, require what? Millions of years, and believe the universe unfolded slowly rather than being created quickly. Now, those are just some. There are more than that out there as well. But that's what's being taught today. That's what the impression is today. You have to be able to say, well, we have millions of years, therefore this is what happened. What's the problem with that? Well, there's a theological problem with this. And here it is. It's a very simple problem. There is this theological problem with each one of these theories, and it's this. The geological ages of millions of years are based basically on the fossil record. That's what they've taken this from. It's the fossil record. We have these fossils, they must have been millions of years ago. And fossils do what? They imply that there was some kind of a reign of suffering and death in the world. Because what did those animals do? They died. Their bodies were left underneath whatever it was, they fossilized, and now we have all these millions of dead bodies that are nothing but skulls and fossils. They all put the fossil record, what? Before Adam's sin. So you have these millions of years that took place. You have all these dinosaurs and everything that existed before man, and eventually man was formed after everything else was formed. Yet here's the problem. The Bible makes it clear that death came into the world as a result of what? Sin. As a result of sin. Because of sin, death came into the world. These theories all accept as real the existence of what? Death before sin. These theories accept that, which is in what? Direct contradiction to the biblical teaching that death is a divine judgment on all creation because of man's sin. What did Paul say? Paul said this. He said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so what? Death spread to all men because all have sinned. This occurred when? It occurred after the creation. It occurred after the creation. So the question I have for you is this. If there were death and disease in the world before Adam sinned, such as fossils, then what was the curse all about? And how could God look at a world that he had made containing such death and disease and say, it is very good? If the logic just does not hold. The only proper way to look at Genesis 1 is to see that it was meant by God to say exactly what it says. The days are literal 24-hour days, and the events described happen just the way and in the time that's described. So let's take a look at what is the biblical meaning of the word day. Now the Christian leaders and scholars who do not accept the creation days, and also Christians in general, as ordinary earth rotation days, will say such things as this. I have two Christian scholars, Archer and Boyce. You're probably familiar with some of their names. But here's what they say. From the superficial reading of Genesis 1, the impression would seem to be that the entire creative process took place in 24-hour days. So what he's saying is, when you read it, it sounds like 24-hour days, doesn't it? But here's what he said. But he says, this seems to run counter to modern scientific research, which indicates that planet Earth was created several billion years ago. That's a man by the name of G. Archer, a great Bible teacher. And then we have this other one. His name is Jay Boyce, Montgomery Boyce. We have shown the possibility of God's having formed the earth and its life in a series of created days representing long periods. In other words, not 24-hour days. In view of the apparent age of the earth, this is not only possible, it's probable. So what he says is, I reject this idea of a 24-hour little day. These days represented millions of years because of the scientific stuff that we have been taught. It's important. It's very important that we as Christians build our thinking what? On the Bible. You must build your thinking on the Bible and not on apparent science or assumptions. Ken Ham notes this, that a word can have more than one meaning, depending what? On the context. For instance, the English word day can have perhaps 14 different meanings. When you say day in the English language, there's 14 different meanings that it can have. Here's an example. I'm going to put this up on the board for you. Back in my father's day, it took 12 days to drive across the country during the day. Think about that. Here, that first occurrence of the word day means what? It means time in a general sense. Back in my father's day, when he lived, wasn't a 24-hour day. It was back in his day. We say that a lot. Back in my father's day. That first occurrence means a time sense in a general sense. The second day, 12 days, there's a number used, and that refers to an ordinary day. And the third refers to the daylight portion of a 24-hour period. We drove our car during the day. So you can see there are many different ways that can be used. Now, here's the important part that we need to look at. In Genesis chapter 1, the word for day is yom. Yom. And it's pronounced yom. Dr. John Morris says this about the Hebrew word yom. He says this, and I'm quoting, it occurs, or day, it occurs over 2,000 times in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament. And he says, it almost always certainly means a certain day. And always would mean a solar day. But he says, even if there is uncertainty, if it arises, he says the Bible must be used to interpret itself. Most specifically, the context of the word, other passages of the word, and other passages on the same subject. In his book, The 6 Days of Genesis, there is a scholar by the name of Paul Taylor, and he says this, whereas, now follow along with me, okay, follow along. Whereas yom, which is day, usually means day outside Genesis 1, he says, and I underline this, it is always an ordinary day in the language if it is attached to the time of day concepts. What does he mean by that? Well, such as evening or morning. In other words, if you attach evening and morning to the word yom or day, it means a 24-hour day. In Genesis 1, every day is listed by a number. Notice what it says here. Let's take a look at the very first one there in Genesis 1 chapter 5. Read with me. And there was evening and there was morning, what? One day. And then when you go down to Genesis chapter 1 verse 8, there was evening, the qualifier. There was morning, a qualifier, a second day. So you have two things that are used there. You have evening and morning, and you have the second day. When those are used with the word yom, then that context is always a 24-hour solar day. When you look at that, in Genesis 1, every day is listed by a number, first day, second day, and the evening and morning are mentioned each day as in verse 13. There was evening and there was morning in verse 13, and there was a third day. The terms evening, which is Adam, and morning, which is Bokher, each occur what? It's very interesting. They each occur more than 100 times in the Old Testament, and always have the literal meaning of the end of a daily period of night and a daily period of light, a 24-hour period. Similarly, When the word day, yom, is modified by a number such as third day, it always, always must carry the literal meaning of a 24-hour period. And he goes on to say that this sentence structure occurs, which is interesting, this type of sentence structure occurs over 100 times in the Pentateuch alone. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Over 100 times the same structure is there, which meant that this was a 24-hour period of time. The day is caused, obviously, by the rotation of the earth, what? On its axis, and it requires periods of light and darkness and the rotation of the planet. We all know that. That's scientific. So as we look at all this information, and I haven't even given you a millisecond of the information. I went through this week and it boggled my mind. I thought, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I said, Lord, you got to give me some insight. But you look at all this information, it may challenge my mind, as it will, and yours, to logically be able to visualize the lands and the seas and the plants being formed in one literal day. You say, how did that happen? But that is exactly what the Bible says happened. I love kids. I love their freshness. I love their insight. I love their honesty. And there was I couldn't get it up on the screen, but there's a little cartoon type thing. There's a little boy and girl talking, and they're talking on a wall. He's got his Bible out, and the little boy says this in each one of the blocks. The little boy that's there, they're talking about the creation, and the boy says, 6 days. The girl says, yep. Next little section says, 6 truly? The boy says, 6 truly? Really? Days? The girl says, yep. The boy says in the next one, you're sure it says 6 days? And the little girl says, yes. The last caption, the little boy says, well, I wonder why it took so long. God is capable. Somebody, you might even ask, well, why did he take 6 days? Well, that's a whole other subject. But it introduces the week. And at the end of the 6 days, there is the day of rest, the Sabbath day. And so God designed the week for men to work and on the seventh day rest. That's a whole different ballgame. But yes, 6 literal days. It's not impossible. And I love that attitude. Why did it take so long? Here's the thing that I want us to look at. Who are we to question God's power to be able to do this? And his truthfulness in telling us that is what happened. I believe God, in all of his wisdom, foresaw those scientists 200 years ago coming up with what I believe to be a lie instigated by Satan himself, that it took millions of years to evolve into what we have today. That, I believe, is why God made it very clear and communicated with all of those modifying words of evening and morning and all those modifying numbers of the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth day, etc. So what? There could be no question. He knew what was going to happen. And I believe that he foresaw that and put that in there to say, I want to make sure you understand, this is literally what happened. It refutes all of that thing about the millions of years. Then you say, well, okay, Pastor, why are you telling us all that? Does it really matter? Does it really make a difference about what I believe? Yes, it does. It does really matter. And the reason that it matters is this. It's really a matter of how you will approach the Bible in principle. Does it matter that a Christian believes about the 24-hour literal day? Yes, it does. If we do not allow the language to speak to us in God's intended context, but we try to make the text fit ideas outside the scripture idea, science tells me it's been billions and millions of years, if we try and fit that into the scripture from things outside the scripture, then ultimately here's going to be the problem. The meaning of any word in any part of the Bible will depend upon man's interpretation, i.e. leaning on our own understanding. That just doesn't make sense. It has to be something different, God. And that can change with the shifting ideas that may come along. Martin Luther said this, a very powerful statement. I have often said that whoever would study the Holy Scriptures should be sure to see to it that he stays with the simple words as long as he can, and that by no means that he would depart from them unless an article of faith compelled him to understand them differently. For of this we must be certain. Here's what he says. There is no clearer speech, no clearer speech that has ever been heard on this earth than what God has spoken to us in his word. We as people, we as God's people, need to realize that the word of God is something that's very special. Paul said this, "You received it not as the word of men, but truly as it is, the word of God." It's the word of God. It's his truth to us. Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6 says that every word of God is what? It's pure. And do not add, there's a warning, don't add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Ponder that. When you're coming to this concept of what God says in Genesis 1 about a 24-hour liberal day, don't try to make it something that it isn't. It's very dangerous. And the implications and the long-term effects of these lies have infiltrated our entire society. I love my grandkids. I love them. I love the, it's fun, like we get to watch a thing called Storybots. Anybody watch Storybots? Yeah, Storybots. And then what's the other one? Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig? You like Peppa Pig? Oh, that's cool. So we're learning all kinds of things. One of the things that my granddaughter, Ivy, is in love with, and for her birthday, she got, I think, 11 dinosaurs. She loves dinosaurs. There's nothing wrong with dinosaurs. So we've been watching some movies, and it's interesting, almost every one of the ones that come out of Hollywood or someplace else, at the very beginning of these movies, The Land Before Time, or whatever it might be about dinosaurs, it always comes down, and it's very assertive. It's very assertive, and it permeates our educational system. Very assertive. Millions of years ago, billions of years ago, now we're stretching it even more, these dinosaurs came about. This is how they came about. And it's taught as fact. That's the danger of the lie and how far it has permeated into our culture. As Christians, we have to be careful. We need to make sure we don't add to his words. In the original of the Bible, the Bible can't be treated as some great literary work. In the Bible, the original, every word and every letter in the Bible is there. Why? Because God put it there. He wrote it through men inspired by God. My challenge to you this morning is this. Let's listen to God. Allow him to speak to you through the Holy Spirit, through his word. And please realize in humility that we cannot think we can tell God what it is he really means. No, God, that's not what you meant. In his creation, 6 days is distinctive because he is the Lord and there is no one else. Treat him that way. Treat his word that way in order to guard your hearts from the error that's permeating our society today. Father, we pray that you would help us. We understand that there are the schemes of Satan. One of the schemes is to perpetuate what I believe to be a lie of the number of years that it took to create this earth. God, you're powerful enough. You could have done it in one day. You could have just said, there it is, and here's heaven, there's earth, it's all done. But you chose to do it in 6 days. We don't always understand the reasons for that, but Father, you said 6 days. Help us to not fall into the trap of allowing our minds to think that just because there is apparent scientific evidence that means it's so. It's not. We need to make our faith based upon your word. If we doubt that, Father, if we doubt the very beginning of your account, then it affects the entire thing, even down to the gospel. It affects about whether or not we can really believe that you love us so much that you died for us on the cross, that you sent your only son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sin, to die on the cross in a cruel death, and then to be risen from the dead and to be resurrected in order that we might have eternal life. It affects the very foundations of our faith, and it has rippling effects. Just like a lie has rippling effects and consequences, and it goes further and deeper away from the truth. So too, help us, Lord, to guard our hearts and minds, and to honestly and openly
reconsider our convictions about the 24-hour verbal day, but more importantly, about the truth and the inerrancy of your word and the authority of your word and your power to do exactly what you say. May we receive that blessing as we trust you in Jesus' name.